welcome to the Futile Podcast. Tonight,
we got Seth, we got Zach. We're going to talk. Seth and I have seen Bad Lieutenant, Protocol, New Orleans with Nicolas Cage, Val Kilmer, Ava Mendez.
Is Val Kilmer really in it? Are you just saying
for, no, he's in it. It's also got Brad Dourif and a few.
You're from Humboldt County?
Yeah, from Humboldt County. And Fairuza Balk from Humboldt County.
Oh, wow.
Both of them, who I drove around. Two of my good friends are now. I'm only one step removed or two steps removed. From Werner, which means I'm like three steps removed.
let's connect you to Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Let's do that.
I think that one of them must have just been.
Okay, so Ian was in.
I wasn't actually in.
He
but
was
I worked
in
on.
A Soul Savers commercial.
Yeah.
Okay, so Ian was crew on Humboldt County, starring Brad. No, who's the better?
Well, Bogdanovich.
Well, what is Bogdanovich in that any
lately? Yeah, no, Dourif would probably be the big one in that.
But what?
Dourif was
a Chucky
in
movie.
Chucky with Chucky. With and the then Chucky from, was in
with the guy from Princess Bride, the prince. And the first one wasn't he the he
Which
was
is
the
in
doctor.
Saw.
He was the
Chris Sarandon.
Yeah,
who's in Saw?
Sarandon? No, he was in Fright Night with Evil.
This is already too many steps.
Okay.
Ian in movie with okay, that's one step with Brad Dourif. Humboldt County.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Dourif in. We gotta somehow get to Kira Sedgwick.
He was in.
Oh, really?
Well, if you can get to John Travolta,
yeah,
you can get to Kira Sedgwick.
Yeah, that's not too hard.
Can you go to? Can you use Deadwood?
Who played Buffalo Bill or Wild Bill Hickok?
That was what's his name? Carradine. That was Keith Carradine.
It was
I think.
Keith Carradine.
Yeah.
That's no good.
What about Lovejoy?
Well, I could do it because Keith Carradine was in that movie, the Duelists, with the Ridley Scott movie with Harvey Keitel.
Oh,
okay.
And Harvey Keitel was in Pulp Fiction with John Travolta, which was in the
phenomenon
with Kira Sedgwick.
So is that six steps? Let's see.
No, it's more than that.
No, it's not. It's
Ian to Dourif, one step. Dourif to who?
To Joe Lovejoy.
No.
Yeah.
No, if you go to Deadwood, right?
Yeah, but I didn't use him. We used Keith Carradine.
Oh.
But who was in what? Deadwood.
Who?
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's that step. Dourif to Dourif.
That's three steps.
No, that's two.
Well, the Keith Carradine is another step, right?
Well, what I'm saying is Ian to Dourif. Dourif to Carradine.
Yeah. Carradine to Keitel.
Keitel to Sedgwick. Sedgwick, that's five
No,
steps.
It's Keitel to Travolta. Travolta to Sedgwick.
Yeah, six.
Solta. Okay, that's perfect.
I guess so.
Good
High
job.
Five.
He's back.
Ian's back.
Okay, well,
six steps to Kevin.
I don't know
Bacon.
How we started with that, but anyway, yeah. So
Zach's gonna explain the Bad Lieutenant.
Well, he's gonna do an. You want him to do an unseen movie review before we do the proper review?
Here's what I hope happens. In the
okay,
movie.
Here we go.
I hope what it is.
Remember, Val Kilmer's in it too.
And,
okay,
and then
that.
It's Werner Herzog, director of Grizzly Man and many other things.
And there's cocaine in it.
So, there's many
and
drugs.
Alligators.
Any of it.
Okay. Work that in.
It's in New Orleans. Post Katrina
and football.
Post 9/11 also.
No, yes, it's post Katrina 11.
And college football bribes.
Okay, so one day, so Nicolas Cage is a bike cop,
like Pacific Blue,
and he.
You want to start over?
He's gonna give a ticket to this lady and her daughter. The daughter throws out a doll on the road. He goes to get it, and a semi bears down, but it doesn't hit him. It hits
this
the
is
car.
Wicker Man, right?
Gosh dang it! I hoped it was just Wicker Man. I hope you guys were making this up and that you actually just watched Wicker Man.
No. No. So, Protocol.
And he runs around screaming, asking people, how did it burn?
How did it get burned?
I've actually.
And he gets in a bear suit and punches
the worst thing about Protocol, and the only reason
Seth
I
said this
was,
is worse. Seth was playing this Facebook poker the whole time. I was watching
there
it.
There was like. Very little Val Kilmer. It was like going to be a buddy cop movie, and then like they introduced him as a buddy cop, and then it's like he's not in the rest of the
that
movie.
That is a downside. He's not in it as much as I would have liked. But it's basically like so Nicolas Cage hurts his back at the beginning of the movie, and they don't really explain exactly how, but it doesn't really matter. He saves this guy who was going to drown in the Katrina. It was like in the jail. He gets a promotion to lieutenant. The doctor gives him a Vicodin prescription and tells him basically, Jerry Lewis, you know, you're going to have chronic pain your whole life. You did something to fuck your back up. And Jerry Lewis apparently like did a flip and like he landed on his back and there was a mic cable and like it was like right between two vertebrae. And so now he's like been forever had pain his whole life. So Cage is, you know, popping Vicodin. But he's also got, like, you know, a pros on the side. I think they just call him a pros, right? They were calling him prostitutes, you know. So he's got his own pros on the side, played by Eva Mendes.
And, strictly for him?
Yeah, well, no. But she's a working girl. But he's maybe trying to get her
out
of
it.
He hits it, yeah. But so basically the whole movie, and then he gets he investigates this kind of grisly, like, whole family murdered because they were moving in on somebody else's heroin scene. And X to the Z is the main crime guy.
Really?
Nice.
He's the main crime guy.
Yeah, he's the heroin guy, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then, well, there are those mafiosos that are, like, the city planner's, like, friends that he pisses off that come in later, that he plays down.
And then Lone Shark.
Both sides down. Well, Brad Dourif is just what he is, yeah. Brad Dourif is the bookkeeper. And so it's basically like he bounces around doing stuff. Like, it's almost like a procedural drama, but the main protagonist is Cage, taking just different drugs because his back hurts. And you can see the way in the performance, he kind of walks like the way somebody does when they have bad back pain, when they kind of crunch over and they kind of move a certain way.
They haven't masturbated in 3 years.
Like a crab or something. And so, like, I don't know. I thought it was good. I thought it was fun. It was.
What about how he was trying to get that one lady to testify that was taking care of that old lady?
Oh yeah, that was good. He was trying to get her to give her information about her son, who was the witness to this guy doing this murder.
He just got too old for that shit.
Yeah, and then he got sick of it, and that was funny. I don't know. I mean, it's sort of a zany plot, so to just break down the plot.
And her son,
pointless.
Her son was a.
But you're saying that you actually didn't find it entertaining to watch, even as you were kind of half watching it.
That's because I didn't watch it.
Well, you were playing. You kept saying, "Are you seriously watching this?" I don't, like, it was offensive to you that it was on.
It was bad.
I didn't think it was bad.
Lieutenant.
I would give it a 3.5 out of 5 because I thought.
The thing was that all the situations he got in were just, like, really, really stupid decisions that he made.
Some of them were, but he made smart decisions too. If you followed through the movie, he, like, was
to get out of his really stupid decisions. They were
in some cases, like, yeah, but a lot of it. I think you can legitimately put a lot of it to just the pain and, like, the search for the drugs. Like, he basically just bumps somebody off to get drugs because he needs to, like, alleviate the pain.
So when he was promoted to bad lieutenant.
Yeah. Yes, he was. Basically, they said, "You're promoted to bad lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans." He's like, okay. He was in, like, Nebraska or something. No, that's not how it goes, but that's kind of how it goes. And so, yeah. I mean, I don't know. We watched that one.
What about Pontypool?
We watched Pontypool. Pontypool was good.
Have you seen that?
What is it?
It was kind of like, it felt like a John Carpenter movie. It was,
about the, Mims? It was about Mims, right?
Memes?
Memes.
Yeah, it was a Canadian, like, horror movie that mostly takes place at this, like...
About memes.
This, like, old church that's turned into a radio station. And basically, it's like people are being turned to zombies because of language. Because
of understanding words.
Understanding certain words or turning them into, like, mindless, crazy people.
It's like communism.
Or something. It was kind of cool. It felt kind of like a play because it was so much of it was just talking and, like, simple set
design.
Yeah,
like one set. Yeah,
there was, like, no real action, but I don't know. It was all right. I didn't mind it. So yeah, Pontypool was all right. What else did we watch? Seth couldn't make it through Where the Wild Things Are or Fantastic Mr. Fox. Neither of those were doing it for you.
Terrible.
I thought Fantastic Fox was all right, but I felt
that,
like,
that one was way better. Than
I felt that the plot was kind of like. I don't know. Both of them had plots that I didn't think they were going to be the way that they were, and so that made them less formulaic. But it also made them less, like, they just didn't work as well for me.
You like a little formula in movies.
Well, I just feel like in certain stories, especially children's stories, certain things kind of need to happen with a certain kind of logic in order for them to make sense.
Right.
What's the point of Where the Wild Things Are? What's so good about that? What's the
point of it?
Yeah. What's so interesting?
It's interesting because all those monsters directly relate to either someone in his life or to one of his like his id and his ego and all that stuff. Like, they're all it's interesting because it's like
that's obvious.
It's breaking down the psychological like what makes this angry kid tick and like what you know. I mean, kids are hard to understand. It's like, you know. He's obviously like an angry, hyperactive kid before that.
Right.
I mean, and it makes it a lot more deep than just saying like, oh, he's, you know, from a broken home or whatever. Not a broken home, but a single parent home or whatever. So I don't know. I just found that really, really fascinating. Just that. And,
fascinating. Yeah. You're going to use the word fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was fascinating.
I can see one thing. Him having seen it on the big screen, I could see the scale of some of the set pieces could be cool. I think that they pulled a real big one on the viewers in terms of the trailer, where they really made it seem like there was some real sense of adventure, because they show him running away from stuff. And all the stuff is in the movie. It's just the context of it in the actual movie versus like, well, now they're in the desert walking around, just the two of them, and you think, well, this must be part of some journey they're on. And no, they just take a walk, and they talk, and they talk, and then they run around, and then they talk, and they talk. I mean, that was sort of my main criticism of it, is that it didn't...
What kind of adventures do you want them to have, man?
Well, I just thought that...
They did kid stuff.
Yeah, but they also just
they built a fort, and they played...
And then they had giant existential angst discussions, and
because things. They were angry. They were furious. Yeah.
Part of it that didn't make sense, because what was he really that angry about?
He's angry because he comes from a single-parent home, and
his mom doesn't abandon him.
He feels like his sister is abandoning him. Catherine O'Hara character, monster, like, says a couple lines a few times that are like, you know, you're not allowed to, I forget what she yells at him, something about how, like, you're not allowed to get mad at me, I can only get mad at you, something like that. It's basically like, he's twisting every the way everyone else in his life acts toward him into something that he's trying to like, hash out in his own mind. It ends up being kind of a trite way to... for him to figure it out, but finally when he understands that the Carol character is like, it's just acting out way more than has been put upon him, he kind of at that point is like, you know what, it's time for me to leave.
It's time for you to grow up.
I realize that I've kind of been a dick to everyone.
Yeah.
but that's simple. But the way he gets to that is really kind of dark, and it's dark, but it wasn't for kids, you know.
The journey wasn't like enough of like an adventure.
If he didn't find the pirate's treasure under the cave, what'd you want?
I wanted that. It'd be a lot more fun, and you'd still do everything that happens in the movie could have happened.
It was a well-made.
Instead, it seemed ham-fisted. It seemed like it was just like, okay, they run around, then they stop and talk, and then they just do. Okay, now we have to do this plot point.
So you think they should have been talking while they ran?
Yeah, they should have been talking. Well, the plot could have created the scenarios to deal with those with solutions to those situations, instead of it just being like.
So Ma Barker and the Beagle Boys are trying to find.
Yeah, Ma Barker and the Beagle, and they're trying to put the freeway down. I remember they got it rescheduled to move the money bank.
So,
and then aliens took it.
That's so dumb, dude.
I'm just saying. I don't know. I mean, there is right. You know, there is that. Well, you can criticize it for not being the movie you wanted it to be. And I'm just saying that I felt that it really just felt like the key just ended up in some existential like artist's commune with a bunch of like cookie cutter, you know, well, I'm the, you know, the one that's the goat guy that doesn't know what's going on, and I'm the homosexual eagle that hangs, that's intellectual literary guy that hangs around with the big crazy talkative, you know, guy that paints on huge canvas and stuff. I mean, I don't know, to me it just felt like,
did you say canvas?
Yeah. I'm pluralizing it. I just didn't, I don't know, it didn't have enough of a sense of like whimsy and childish adventure, which is what the movie
should have been.
I mean, that's different than them just to say, hey, let's jump in a pile, hey, let's run around and smash stuff. That's like such easy, like almost like superficial, like childish stuff.
What about the perfect city that Carol builds inside that cave that has...
Yeah, that's like
that
a that's like a quiet
what he really wants at the
that's
heart
what
of the thing.
That's like that's, a quiet nice moment. That's the, I'll give
about,
it to you.
What
there.
About the massive fort thing they build? And what about
they
the,
start to build something? Yeah,
the,
and then
the fight
nothing
they have,
came
it turns
comes
into
that.
A brutal, violent war. Like everything was tinged with a little bit of fear and anger. I thought it was just brilliant.
The dirt clod thing, I don't know, was kind of boring to me. But
you didn't get like that. Like everything that happened.
No, I got that
slightly.
It,
like
yeah, there was an edge. There was an edge and attention because they were a bunch of angsty artists.
They were kids.
And they were like waiting for something
whatever game
to be angry about.
Turns into some life or death war.
Yeah.
It's a kid thing.
I just didn't, I don't know. I just felt like the stakes
You wanted it
were,
to be Max Keeble's big move or whatever it was. You wanted it to be blank check, basically.
I think I was looking for blank check. No, I don't know. I just, I just feel like there was a chance. There was a chance for them to do some really good adventure, coming of age type stuff, and still they could have had all of that in there.
Well, the thing is, it's a kid's movie that's not a kid's movie. So you don't really, all the stuff is obvious because it's childish, but it's not done in an enjoyable childish way. So what do you get from it? It's not funny. It's not interesting. It's not. Well, it seems obvious.
I thought it was meaningful and poignant. Well done.
You learned something from it? You got something out of it? Something important?
You know what? I like movies where people actually put kids in their place and say that, like... Coraline did the same sort of thing. Like, people like to be really PC about it and, like, you know, children of the future, you gotta listen for, you know, to them, the mouths of babes and all this stuff, and, you know, they'll show you the right way to live and that, you know, all this... like super liberalistic stuff that really works. And there's been a couple movies in the last year that have really been like, you know what, kids are lazy, selfish dicks,
and they need to be taught how to grow up.
Exactly. And like, you know, and that's, it's just a basic, like,
I would say that this one wasn't that big on that, because really, if you think about it, what does the mom do? She waits for him to come back. It's
like a Brothers Grimm fairy tale type thing, and those are really all kind of adult in nature.
But what did,
really,
so what did you get at?
Exactly that. The kids are.
And you didn't know that before.
Of course, I knew that. I know everything that's ever told to me in a movie.
So what do you? So
movies tell you something really trite.
Okay.
More often than not.
So why would you ever watch a movie? Are you trying to get? You're trying to get something profound out of each one. What are you going to learn?
Some things have that. Some things are funny.
What did you learn from Schindler's List? Was the Holocaust bad? Should you try to help people, even if it might end in your own
demise
and deportation and death?
And you might not get the nicest car.
The point I'm trying to make is something like Schindler's List is dealing with adult issues that once you're an adult...
They're similarly trite, though.
Yeah, but they're more relevant.
Relevant to what?
To being an adult.
Well, how is anything from World War II relevant to you now? How is anything about the eradication of a people relevant to you now?
Just the general idea of suffering.
So why isn't the general idea about understanding the way an angry kid works, which is probably way more relevant to almost any other adult themed movie you'll ever see, since most adults will have to deal with an angry child.
And most adults were children. If not
children,
if they haven't grown up yet,
better, maybe it'll help you deal with yours better. How is that not more relevant than anything else you could watch, like Port of Call, New Orleans?
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah,
I think more adults should watch more kid movies, and I think they aimed it in the correct area, because if they had done that just for kids.
So is that your criticism, though? Are you saying that you feel like it should have been more of a kid's movie?
No, I'm having a hard time articulating here, but I felt like it was more...
He thinks they aimed it at adults, but that the message was too obvious and simple for what they did. Right?
Yeah, I didn't find any of the messages that were conveyed to be interesting at all.
Or interesting.
I mean, you're right. I mean, there's you know, stuff going on, but it's just like...
Well, I can see his sort of criticism and also sort of see that that's just a tough thing to pull off, doing what they're doing. They're giving a what you call an obvious message about childhood, but I mean, so what if it's obvious? And if it,
you know what?
Reminds you as an adult, like, oh yeah, this is what it was like to be a kid.
It's hard to say what kind of messages are in there because they really deal with a very light hand, any sort of message type stuff. Like, there's the basic thing.
But they throw some weird, dark stuff in there. And you mentioned this in your written review, the thing about, like, the other kings being eaten and stuff. And, like, that's almost like kind of this cop-out extra dark stuff. Like, what subsector, subculture is that really trying to say anything to, you know?
I don't think it's trying to say anything to a subculture. I think it's supposed to
be... What group is supposed to think that's either funny or be like, oh,
I don't
wow.
think it's supposed to be funny. I think it's supposed to indicate that he's not alone in this, and that this has happened to many other
and they've been
before.
Eaten, and that means what?
You have to survive the process.
What if
that was him coming through on the other side, okay. Yeah.
So you were entertained by
they were
by
devoured
the
by the monster inside them.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay.
You were entertained by
absolutely,
them.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
And I'm saying that, like, I get everything that he's saying about it, and I think that it all could have been done in a way that would have been
more adventure.
More fun to watch and more... Of a journey story.
It was a downer.
It was just so much talking and walking and then running around for 10 minutes. And then
it was like the characters were all so simple and straightforward, it seemed like.
It did take a while to get to some places, too. I mean, basically, like, here, you can agree with me, though, right? They structured that trailer and that second one with the, you know, the Arcade Fire song to really feel like there was like a series, like a major arc. Okay. Like the kid meets him and then they do stuff and they're running from things and they're building stuff and then it's just him and the guy, one guy in the desert. And it felt like, oh, they really go somewhere. Like, they go on a journey, and they fight stuff, and they engage in things.
I felt like all those things happened exactly the way they promised it would in the trailer. Just, I mean, the thing is, I mean, I don't know if you still watch trailers with the idea that it's going to be nonstop action all the way through. Anytime I see a trailer, I'm figuring that I'm getting the most exciting parts of every 10 minutes.
Oh, well, yeah, I do.
Be talking in between
them. I do, but at the same time, I thought those would be the exciting parts of, like, a journey that would be sort of like some sort of narrative plot way to kind of orchestrate these ideas that they did have in it, when instead it was more just like, throw this in, and then this, and it was very binary. It was really, okay, talking, okay, now something crazy, okay, talking, and it never really, like, there was no real sense of it doing much, and then it did ratchet up just because they just increased the, like, sort of, you know, the violence or the tension or the darkness in the talking or in the action. But it, I don't know. It was like the kid never had much in the way of a goal. Not that he really needed anything. I don't know. It would have worked better for me if there was something more in the way of a journey going on there, a little more of an adventure, and a little more whimsical. I guess
he has the growth when he realizes, when he starts to understand what each of them are to him.
Well, I think it's almost, but in a way that. That is, I think, very true to children. It's more just like he just kind of gets bored with it all and wants to just go home.
Well, he doesn't just get bored with it.
He gets scared by it and he gets bored with it. He gets afraid of
the one who's most like him is the one who becomes, I mean, very frightening.
Yeah, well, he's going to eat him or something.
And so he basically, at that point, it's like, you know, it's time to go. And of course, he's been drawing closer and closer to the sister figure that whole time. And that's the one who, angry Carol, you know, which in another weird thing, if you notice, that is like almost an incestuous thing.
Yeah.
Because if those are all parts of him, you know, Carol's goal is just to be with this person.
Yeah.
And the little wood thing he carved out is them embracing in a boat as they, you know,
yeah.
and things like that. So, like, there's a lot of, like...
Well, it's abandonment issue stuff.
Absolutely.
With Carol.
I found that stuff fascinating to be in a kid's movie.
Did you relate to any of the characters?
Absolutely not. Okay, I've never had anger problems. There's no beast.
Yeah,
there's no beef.
No problems. No, I mean,
No beef.
At the same time, I think anything about the broken home was pretty, like, non-existent. Because because it was like, it was a good mom. She treated him nice. She didn't ignore him in the scene when she was working. She asked him to tell a story, and it's all on the kid.
It's all on the kid. Exactly. Yeah. That's the point, though, because she is making an effort. She's making an absolute effort, and everything else everyone is doing is fine too. The sister. Going off on her own with a new set of people, new friends, is completely natural.
Everything he was doing was semi-fine too. I mean,
well, no,
except
for
he reacted
it's a little over the line, but it wasn't big.
No, that kid was crazy.
He was manic depressive. Basically, he goes and he gets in his bed and he just sort of hides crying.
Yeah,
that kid.
And then he jumps in. I did feel that they got someone too old to play the kid.
Or just too hip seeming or something.
Max Records.
Kids are tough.
Too emo.
Kids are tough with
TV emo. I felt like he was.
You should have had Ryan playing.
I felt like he was too old because a 10-year-old wouldn't be wearing a wolf pajamas. A 10-year-old,
unless he's in Arrested Development, which I mean could work too. I mean, you know,
yeah, that was. Was it rap
in the band?
Right?
Yeah. If he was Mr. Wendell, yeah, it was a wolf. Right. Wolf clothing, sheep in wolf's clothing. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, so yeah, I don't know. I would give it.
I can see the divisiveness, and I think I tried to factor in that in the review I gave.
You don't have to. You just have to say yours.
No, because I felt like if I come out of a movie feeling happy about it, then generally I feel like, you know, that's about as good as it could have been. But it's more intriguing, and it's also a little disappointing when I come out of feeling like it just really bummed me out.
Yeah.
Because there's either some major issues with the movie or there's some major issues with how I took the movie. And I don't know. I've never reacted well to things where kids had, like, depressing times and had hard lives, because I never had to experience that, and that's something I always feared as a kid.
Yeah.
I always feared...
There's sort of a guilt there and everything.
Not a guilt. I saw in movies where people lived in, like, dark, drab, gray cities with, like, bad parents and had to run from babysitters and got scared.
Everything was miserable.
And things like that, and I was always afraid of that ever happening to me, so... It always made me uneasy when I saw that movie.
No, that makes sense. That's a very true thing.
I think you either have to tell a story that's interesting, like on a level that's not trite, or just be entertaining, like action movie or comedy or something like that. And this was not interesting, it wasn't funny, and it wasn't entertaining.
I think I get your point about it being sort of so trite and at the same time lacking in story. He got to about the last 20 minutes, I think.
It's like starting to build a car and forgetting to put on the windows.
I think it was right. It was the dirt clod fight that just started. Happen.
Oh, you missed the big sex scene.
Yeah, it did. It was like
they had a massive.
Did Danny finally get some?
Danny got some.
What if Danny just came in the middle of the world while things are like, hey, Danny.
No, you guys.
Oh, hey, Danny.
Danny from the movie. Oh, hi, Danny. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that was that. I don't know why.
You at the floor the whole time. Why, Danny?
Yeah, Where the Wild Things Are was. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe he'll do something.
What about Straight Jacket? Next.
Maybe he'll grow.
Yeah, maybe he'll grow as a person.
Maybe you'll grow.
Maybe I'll grow as a person.
No, I'm saying maybe your idea of it will grow on you. Is what I'm
it
to
might,
say.
Yeah. No, I mean, a second viewing, I it's one of those cases where
you gotta admit,
I get both of what you're saying.
It's a much more artfully shot and complexly written film than the average thing you're going to see.
That's not my criticism of it. It's really
the craftsmanship was fantastic. I mean, yeah. Spike Jonze is really a phenomenal director.
And that's kind of what I was disappointed for a little more, too, because it's like, man, they look like they had such great set pieces to run around and do something with, but in the end, it's really just...
Well, that ended up being their demise, because they spent tons of money on that film.
How much was it?
$80 million, something like that. Like, I don't think it made its money back.
Probably not. I could see why the producers could get into fights with them about it, too, because it's like, really, like... So that's got a point.
They
like,
wanted him to recut it.
It's very talky, and if the ideas are higher end, then maybe it's worthy.
Well,
the thing
is, I think they're much higher end than he's giving them credit for.
I mean, I don't know.
I think there's a lot of subtext in there.
I mean, there's a lot of analysis because it's basically child psychology stuff.
It's all childish stuff, though.
But it's not childish. It's about children.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's you're right.
So the answer you can look at anything that a kid does. Extremely simply, or you can break it down into the myriad things that cause the child to do that way. That's a basic child psychology. And I think the film does both of those things. It gives you a basic overarching theme, which is, you know what, this kid is really kind of to blame for his own thing, but the question with any child is, can they understand that and change that? And he has to kind of fight through that in his mind, which is what's happening in the film, until he understands that a little bit. Don't even know if he succeeded at the end, because all that happens is he comes back to his mother.
He feels bad.
He feels bad, and he comes back to his mother.
Yeah, it's got the nihilism there to a degree, which wins them points.
I didn't even finish the movie. I knew that was what was going to happen.
That's what I'm saying. Is the simple thing. My perfect version
of it would have still had an ending. You know, that you would have been able to figure out a third of the way.
Got raped by Danny or something.
Yeah. No. No, I don't know.
I have to watch you guys.
Yes.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.